As we prepare to hear scripture this morning, I invite you to join me in our prayer of illumination. The words will be on the screen or in your bulletin, and in one voice, let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our scripture this morning comes to us from the book of Genesis. You can tell that it is three long chapters. I am not going to make you sit and listen to all three chapters. So I did bring a couple of my favorite resources, and part of what I'm going to be very mindful of, particularly next week, is that I know that our children will be in here during the time of scripture reading, and so I'm going to make sure that the story is accessible to them. And so that will be something that we will do as well. It will be in shorter format, but one that they can understand just as much as we can. And so we're going to practice that. I wish I could find my children's rhyming Bible. Have y'all ever heard that one? It's like scripture in prose, and it's really awesome, but, you know, I have no idea where that one is, so I might need to order another one. But here are a couple of my favorites. One is the Jesus storybook. Have y'all seen this one before? This is one that when we would give gift Bibles to littles, I would give to our early readers because it's a little bit easier to grab the stories rather than handing them a Bible with all the scripture in it when they don't necessarily have the big words. And then here's another one that I just picked up. It's Bible Stories Every Child Should Know, and it's written by Kenneth Taylor and is illustrated by Jenny Brake. And so, you know, when we think about how folks are growing up in the faith, it's what are those stories that we want our children to know, but then how do we as adults hear those stories again? With fresh ears and with new ideas, right? So these are probably the two resources, and if I can put my hands on that rhyming Bible, I will, and we'll probably introduce that in as well. But I'm going to go ahead and read our scripture from the Jesus Storybook Bible just to get us into the practice of that for next week. Sound okay with you all? I'm sure you would prefer that over me reading three chapters from the book of Genesis. So hear now these words. A new beginning, Noah's Ark from Genesis 6 to 9. Time passed and many people filled the earth. Everyone everywhere had forgotten about God and were only doing bad things all the time. God's heart was filled with pain when he saw what had happened to the world he loved. Everywhere was disease and death and destruction, all the things God hates most. Now, Noah was God's friend, which was odd in those days because no one else was. Noah listened to God. He talked to God. He just loved being with God, like you might with your own best friend. Noah, God said, things have gone wrong. People have filled my world with hate instead of love. They are destroying themselves and each other. And my world. I must stop them. But first, we'll build an ark. Do y'all know how to build an ark? Neither did Noah. Luckily, God knew and showed him how. God said, "A storm is coming, Noah, but I will rescue you, I promise. I'll send the animals to you, ones that creep and crawl and slither and slime and gallop and hop and bound and climb, and don't forget to pack everyone's food." The storm was going to wash away all the hate and sadness and everything that had gone wrong and make the world clean again. God had thought up a way to keep Noah safe, but Noah would have to trust God and do exactly what God told him. So Noah built an ark. In other words, a very large boat. And Noah's neighbors came out to watch and point and laugh because they didn't believe Noah about the boat or even the storm that was coming or the fact that they needed to be rescued. And Noah must have looked rather silly. His boat was in the desert, and the desert was nowhere near the sea, and there wasn't even a cloud in the sky. Why would anyone need an umbrella, let alone a boat? But Noah didn't mind so much what other people thought. He minded what God thought. So he just did what God told him to do. When the ark was ready, God said, "All aboard," and Noah's family and all the animals climbed inside. Then God shut the door. And it started raining for minutes that joined up into hours, that joined up into days, that joined up into weeks and weeks. And the rain joined up into puddles, that joined up into rivers, that joined up into lakes, that joined up into a flood that covered the whole world. Their boat that had once seemed so big suddenly seemed very small. But in the middle of the huge storm and the crashing waves and all the thunder and lightning, through it all, God was with them. And God kept them safe for 40 long days and 40 long nights. And finally, the rain stopped. The sun came out and Noah threw open all the windows. Hooray! Everyone shouted. Noah sent his dove out to explore, and it wasn't long before she brought him back a fresh olive leaf. Everyone knew exactly what that meant. She had found a tree and land. The water was going down. At last, the boat landed quite suddenly on top of a great mountain. As soon as it was safe, God said, "Out you come." And so they did, everyone skipping and dancing into dry land. The first thing Noah did was to thank God for rescuing them, just as he had promised. And the first thing God did was make another promise: "I won't ever destroy the world again." And like a warrior who puts away his bow and arrow at the end of a great battle, God said, "See, I have hung up my bow in the clouds. And there in the clouds, just where the storm meets the sun, was a beautiful bow made of light. It was a new beginning in God's world. It wasn't long before everything went wrong again, but God wasn't surprised. He knew this would happen. That's why before the beginning of time, he had another plan, a better plan, a plan not to destroy the world, but to rescue it, a plan to one day send his one son, Jesus, the rescuer. God's strong anger against hate and sadness and death would come down once more, but not on his people or his world. No, God's war bow was now pointing down at his people. It was pointing up into the heart of heaven. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. So I am curious. We send out, or at least in your bulletin, you will notice on the back page that it says, "To prepare for next week, I provide you a scripture," right? So last week, I would have included this week's scripture. You don't have to raise your hands and point out, but I would just be curious, how many of you take the time to read the scripture prior to coming to worship on Sunday? Okay. So knowing that, can I say that again? Please read the scripture for next week before you come to worship on Sunday. For the very reason that there are details in the reading that were not captured in the biblical story that I shared. Correct? Okay. So here's the other piece to this. If we want our children in worship to hear the story, we have to model to them what a life of discipleship looks like. Right? That means you don't open your Bible at all for the rest of the week. Just open it up for the story for Sunday morning. Can y'all do that for me, please? Yes? Okay. All right. So let's pray. Gracious and holy God, thank you for the gift of this day, for this community of faith that is willing to step once again into a space to receive your grace, to hear a story, to hear it with fresh ears. May it open our hearts and our minds to what you would have us hear this day. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So our scripture this morning was Noah's Ark. It's a story that's familiar to many of us. How many of you have seen, is it Evan Almighty? Yeah, which is a really comical take on, you know, building an ark and, you know, acts of random kindness, which is kind of a take on our intentional acts of kindness. But this idea that the community legitimately thought he was crazy, right? And I suspect that that was similar to how Noah was experiencing the community. You've heard this. He's building an ark, huge boat in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of dry land, and there's not a cloud in the sky, right? And so there's this question of, well, how is it that Noah intentionally listened and followed to what God was asking, whereas everybody else couldn't hear a word from God? So that's one question that we need to wrestle with. And then the other questions that sometimes I think about is, how did we know all the animals would fit on the boat? Right? Do y'all ever get caught up in those details? How did all those animals fit in onto the boat? And how do you know that they were everything accounted for? And have you ever seen those cartoon memes where the unicorn and the dinosaurs hanging on a rock looking at the boat in the distance and be like, man, we really missed the boat on that one, right? You know, so we think about that, and we're wrestling with this concept of Noah's Ark. And is that what washed all the dinosaurs away? You know, we wrestle with our science minds and scripture. And then we have to remember that scripture is not a history book or a science book. It is a book about God and our relationship with God. So we also know the story of the waters rising and the floods, and this boat is in the storm, right? And how long did it rain? 40 days and 40 nights. Where have we heard that number before? Moses, Jesus in the wilderness, right? Jesus was resurrected for 40 days before ascending into heaven. But anyway, 40 days and 40 nights in biblical terms is a really long time, right? And so we have this number to understand conceptually that it's a very long time. That I could imagine that there was some serious cabin fever happening on that boat, and that the animals were not getting along, or Noah and his wife having to say, if y'all don't stop arguing, I'm going to pull this boat over. You know what I mean? So we have this idea of how they were living together in this community, and then finally the rain stops and the water begins to ebb away. And to test if it was actually safe or if there was an end in sight, he released a dove into the air. And if it came back with nothing, then we knew it wasn't time yet. But then releasing the dove again, it came back with an olive branch, which indicated that there was new growth. There was dry land. That this storm was soon to pass. So we know that. And then eventually the boat ends up on a mountain, as we heard from Scripture. And then the other piece that we always remember from Noah's Ark, besides the boat, the animals, is the rainbow, right? That we think about that rainbow in the sky. And how many of you get really excited when it's rained and you step outside and you see this really cool rainbow out? Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. And if it's a full arc or a double arc rainbow and you can actually see both ends, usually when you're in a flat space or on the ocean, you see that, right? And it's like, I can't tell you how many pictures of rainbows I have on my camera roll. Am I the only one? Okay, good. You know, and that promise of at the end of the rainbow, there's a what? Pot of gold, let's chase it down, but the rainbow continues to move, and then it disappears, and you're like, well, I guess no gold for me this time, right? Maybe better luck next time. But we hear this, and underlying all of it is the relationship and three questions that we need to ask. What does this story tell us about God? What does this story tell us about humanity? And what does this story tell us about the relationship between God and humanity? For us, we sit on the side of post-resurrection, that our lens to read this story and to understand it is through the lens of Jesus. So that is what we're going to do. So what we hear about God is that God was really upset with how things had gone with humanity. Right? There was evil pervasive in the world. Humanity was not taking care of one another. They were not taking care of creation, even though God had told humanity, you are to be good stewards of all that I have created. Take care of creation. And they failed to do it. And they failed to take care of one another. And God needed to provide a new start. This is why we can see this as one of many new beginnings, because the whole rest of Scripture is all about God's new beginnings for us as humanity. And so in this case, knowing that our life as humans was connected to the life on the earth, basically God was going to wash it all clean, and choosing to start with one who was identified as righteous, Noah, the one who attuned his ears to hear God and to obey what God was asking of him. And then God also had a plan to save all of the creatures, right? Which is why they were on the boat, so that there would be this fresh start for creation as well. And then the water. What's important about the water? Well, for us, if we're looking through the lens of Jesus, water here of washing creation and humanity clean is not unlike our own baptisms. Because when we are baptized and brought into the family of God, we are water washed and spirit born. It is an outward sign of an inward promise that God will make us new, new creations. So we cling to that these stormy waters are like our baptismal waters. And then we hear the promise of God, that once we reach that dry land, there's this promise that God would never do it again. Why? Because God's ultimate solution to our sin problem was going to be Jesus. That it is through Jesus that we would be absolved of all sin, given a new life in which to live, a modeled walking path of what it means to love one another and to love all creation, in order that all will be fully reconciled back into right relationship with God. And then we can dig a little bit deeper. So this tells us God's promise, right? I make this promise that I will never flood the earth again. And when you see this rainbow, it will be a reminder of my promise to you. What does this story tell us about humanity? That sin corrupts us, right? That left to our own devices, we will time and time and time again get it wrong. That we cannot fix it on our own, but we need God to intercede on our behalf. That thank goodness God didn't give up on us. Obviously, we have a whole lot more biblical story to go that says God didn't give up on us yet, right? So what does this tell us about the relationship between God and humanity? That we are who we are because of who God is, and we cannot be who God intends us to be without who God is. That God is a God of love, God is a God of promises, God is a God of second, third, gazillion chances later. That God is the one who has the ultimate plan, one that was created at the very beginning of all creation, and that was to have Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit with us. So here's my question for you. If we understand those things, how many of you have had storms in your own life? Yeah. Have you ever felt like you've just been tossed around, the wind has blown and you've been rocked and you just said, I just want to get out of this, and you just can't tell head from toe, and then you get on the other side and you just think, how in the world did I survive that? I know I have. And I am permanently changed because of that weathering of the storm. And sometimes when we weather through that storm, we can be stronger in our faith, or we can be farther apart from God. So when we hear that the ark came to rest upon that mountain, who is that rock for us? It's Christ Jesus, the solid foundation of our faith, Upon the solid rock I stand, all other is sinking sand. That this story tells us that when we have those storms in our life, that we are to rest firmly in Jesus, knowing that God is ever present with us, will not forsake or leave us, and will carry us through those stormy times. Thanks be to God for a love like that. So have you heard Noah's story in a different way today? I hope so. I want you to reflect upon what you have heard, to hear it from the lens of Christ Jesus, to remember who you are and whose you are because of who God is. And when we get to those stormy times in our lives, let us surround each other with love and grace, and to stand firmly upon the rock. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.